So Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be able to gather together this morning. Although I suspect that not all of the church family are here with us together, unfortunately, as they've been affected by this flood. And it's been another tough, traumatizing and overwhelming week for many of us, hasn't it? So today, together now, or at home, if you're hearing the talk, maybe many of us with hurting and troubled hearts, my prayer for us all is that we'll be able to sit under our Father God's good and comforting word now, in Psalm 84, and be filled with his love, peace, and joy together. Before we pray, I'd also like to share the commentary, which I forgot to bring, but it's called Psalms for You by Christopher Ashe, has been immensely helpful for me to better understand the Psalms, to start a journey in praying the Psalms, to see Jesus as the fulfillment of all the Psalms, and to be shaped by the Holy Spirit through them. Christopher Ashe himself says, "The Psalms are a neglected treasure in many parts of the Christian church today. I'd love them to become a treasure for you and for all of us." Let's pray together now before we look at God's word. Loving Father, thank you for your precious word, the Bible. Thank you that it brings us to Jesus, your living word. Please help us now to know your peace, that our hurting hearts and minds might be able to stop. Sit with you now and truly know your peace, love, and joy, having our eyes lifted and filled with the glorious risen Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If I use the word longing, what does it bring to mind for you? Do you long for some sort of rest? To see family again, maybe? To have things back to normal before COVID and floods hit? For some of you who've suffered immensely in the last month, it might simply be to be in your own home with everything as before. Your longing might also bring to mind a desire for the world to be made right, for peace and prosperity for everyone in the world. And that's what so many people want in the world, right? Isn't it? For peace, for uncertainty to cease. In our Western culture at large, it actually tells us that we just need tangible things or experiences to meet our longings so often. It might be the American dream, money, good things, happy, healthy, to be good looking, a home to call your own, a nest egg for retirement, or contentment or enjoyment, to feel happy. Or it could be a nostalgic feeling, longing for life when it seemed easier, when we were younger. Sometimes the longing is simply for that new pair of shoes, or a car that doesn't break down, or a body that doesn't break down. Maybe it's a longing to have what our neighbours have, to get the latest gadget, if only we had. But do these longings ever really get satisfied? Do they ever? For those of us who are Christians here, we wouldn't necessarily agree with all these longings, with the things our secular society longs for and pursues. And yet, we know we all do at times, because our society and our culture constantly tells us what we should long for. The reality is, though, at a much deeper level, at times we can all experience this desire, this longing for something better, for joy satisfied, for everything to be right, for complete peace and safety, to really belong, to feel like we've finally come home even. Really having the good life and thinking that we're truly blessed. Yet our longings can just seem out of reach. Today, as we look at Psalm 84 together, we see the psalmist also longing and yearning. Now, we don't really know when this psalm was written. It could have been before or during the Babylonian exile. But there does seem to be an appropriateness to it for it during the exile, when everything was definitely not okay. Whenever it was written, though, it was sung and prayed with deep and powerful longing. Further, this psalm is cut into three segments, each one cemented to a blessing. And finally, we must look at this psalm in light of Jesus, because Jesus himself said that he's written about in the Psalms. And all the longing in this psalm finds fulfillment in Jesus as the anointed one, the promised Messiah. He alone can fulfill it. Now, you may or may not know this about me, but I went to boarding school for all of my high school years. From the ages of 13 through to 17, I lived away from home and my parents for nearly three quarters of all that time. I got to go home during the school holidays and maybe one or two weekends each term. Now, there was definitely some great things about boarding school, but I definitely looked forward to going home when I could. The saying, home is where the heart is, it makes sense to me, as there was so much joy on our large family farm. Now, I must admit that I didn't look forward to all the mustering and other jobs we always needed to do there, and life wasn't perfect by any means. But there was so much that was wonderful about my home, and that farm is still a part of me. Well, here in Psalm 84, as we dive into this first segment, we'll see it's drenched with longing for home as well, but far more than I ever did. Have a look with me from verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. The longing is deep longing. Can you feel it? There's both joy and desperation, both laughter and crying. And here there's clarity in the longing as well. Unlike the longing we can so often have, God is the longing, to be with God. It's not a blessing of things. God is the blessing. The psalmist is saying, how much I love your dwelling place, where you tabernacle in the temple, in your holy city, Jerusalem, the place you've made your presence known on earth, God of everyone and everything, the place where your people can gather under your anointed king to enjoy access to you, God, through sacrifice. The psalmist is saying, there's no place I'd rather be. And they continue. Everything, my soul, my heart, my mind, my body, it longs, yearns, aches for you, God, the living God, and where you are. The psalmist then even expresses both a sense of jealousy and comfort at the sparrows and the swallows. They get to be near you, Lord Almighty, my King and my God, and you care. You can see the psalmist wants to be there with God. And you can feel their longing and their anguish as if they're not. And verse 4 finishes the segment with the first blessing. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. The emotion is clearly present, isn't it? Deep emotions like we've felt of late. And at times in our longing and in our despair, we cry out, Lord, please make everything right. Please can we be home with you. We long deeply, but we can't take hold of it now, it seems. However, as we look at this psalm through Jesus, the Messiah who fulfills the Old Testament, we need to be reminded of his fulfillment of this psalm. In John 1:14 it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus tabernacled or dwelt among us, sinful people. No longer is God fixed to a place or a building. Jesus became the temple and lived among us. More than that, now lives in us through the Holy Spirit if we trust in him. And in John 14, verses 1 and 2, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? Here Jesus promises a place for those who believe in him, in the house of God, his and our Father's house. He points us to where everything will be made right, to heaven, where he is now at the Father's right hand, where one day we who trust in Jesus will be also for all eternity. You see, it's in Jesus that we're truly blessed, because one day we'll truly be in our Father's house, ever praising him. See, longing as the world longs for created things rather than the Creator, they promise so much, but they never deliver. It leaves us chasing more, wanting more, never satisfied. But longing for Jesus, longing for what he longs for his church, his people, and longing for our eternal home with God, that's what we need. Because only Jesus truly satisfies, and in him we're truly blessed. When I was at boarding school, I occasionally got to go home for a weekend during the term, here and there. I'd catch a 30-seater bus with a bunch of boarders from the different schools in Toowoomba. We'd pile into the bus on a Friday afternoon for a 4-plus-hour bus trip home to the country home that I grew up in. It was a pretty fun journey, but it was also tiring. Some parts of the trip were boring, some were tiring, as I said. And there was definitely some longing for it to be over. But it was also great to catch up with friends from the other schools. And I can tell you what, the burger and the thick shake that I'd get in Dolby for dinner was so good, so much better than Macca's. But the end goal, the aim of getting home for a bit and waking up in my own bed, that was the best bit. And in verses 5 to 7, in the next segment of Psalm 84, we see the psalmist talking of travelling home as well, of pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem to come before God. And so in these verses, we see the blessedness of heading home to God. See, the pilgrim's strength is in God. Their hearts and their aim is to be before God through the journey, though the journey may be hard. And it's in that that they are blessed. Though they have to journey through hard places, they head resolutely for home to God. And it's not aimless journeying either. The focus and longing of the pilgrims is intentional, to appear before God in Zion. And as they travel through dry and desolate places, the trip home isn't easy, but they only grow stronger in God. They are blessed. And they actually bring blessing to the hard places they travel through because their longing is fixed on God. Do you notice that? Like springs of living water in a desert, like gentle and good rains in dry places, that's like the blessings that flow from the pilgrims. Their strength is God, and God's blessings, they flow out. Yet it's a challenge, isn't it? I don't always have my strength in God, and I definitely don't seem to go from strength to strength as I head home towards my eternal home. But I'm reminded that Jesus resolutely headed to Jerusalem, that his strength was in his Father, that his desire was to do his will, that through his perfect and complete sacrifice, dying on the cross in our place for our sins, we are forgiven, washed clean and blessed. We are brought back to God, standing justified before him only because of Jesus. And so Jesus leads us home. We can follow him in our own pilgrimage through life with the blessing and help of the Holy Spirit. Just like the many believers who've come before us, journeying with Jesus through the good and the hard times, we can fix our eyes on Jesus and our eternal home and look to bless others in all sorts of ways, but most especially with Jesus himself. Very recently, I was able to visit a farm owned by a Christian on the other side of Kyogle. It had beautiful views across the Richmond Valley. It was a little bit of paradise, really. I mentioned that I'd be sharing with you my church family from Psalm 84. And we got to verse 10, which says, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." And as we looked at the magnificent views, the farmer said something like this: "This place is sewage compared to heaven." The psalmist in this final segment of Psalm 84 doesn't quite put it that way. But he definitely knows who he longs for and who he loves most. But interestingly, in verses 8 and 9, he actually stops and he suddenly prays as he cries out in his longing. "Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on your shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one." It's a prayer that deeply desires God to show favour to their shield and the anointed one. Both of these are the same. They're references to the Messiah or Christ, the great Davidic king. So it points to Jesus and is a prayer for Jesus. Why? Because in asking for favour for the anointed king, the Messiah, the psalmist is asking that God's favour would flow to all God's people. If the anointed king is there with God's favour, it means God's people are in God's place, under God's good and loving rule. It means the continuation of the blessings in verses 4 and 5. And as verses 10 to 12 show us, the psalmist asks for this favour because being able to appear before God, even just for one day, is 1,000 times better than anywhere else. In a sense, everything else is sewage compared to dwelling with God and living for God. And the good news for us is that God does bestow his favour and honour. He did that by sending his anointed one, Jesus Christ, his own Son, to dwell among his people, among us. He withholds nothing, not even his greatest blessing, his most precious Son who died for us, through whom we are shown favour and made blameless, forgiven. And it says, verse 12 finishes for us, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. We see it's Jesus who completely trusts in God the Father for us. And so now we can too. If we trust in God through Jesus, we're blessed. We're truly blessed in Jesus. It can be easy to look at others in this world and think if only we had what they have, if only we had physical blessings, their comfort, their ease, or their life, or their looks, or whatever. But all longings for the good life outside of Jesus will fail. We'll just keep on longing and longing and longing without real hope. And we'll never be satisfied or truly blessed. See, God has not even withheld his own Son from us. No good thing does he withhold, as verse 11 reminds us. I promise you, there is no greater blessing, no greater gift, no greater place, no greater journey, no greater love than being able to trust, be in, and follow Jesus. Only in Jesus are we truly blessed. He's the good life. I'd like to read to you from Revelation 21, 1 to 5, which tells us of what's to come. From verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look! God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. How good and comforting is that, brothers and sisters? Our journey in this life is likely to be tough, with plenty that we don't want or enjoy. The last month and even the last couple of years have shown us that here and around the world. So we don't ignore the hardship and the pain around us and in us, but we don't forget the real hope we have. Remember, if we have Jesus, if we trust in him, then we have his Holy Spirit to help us, comfort us, and to guide us to him as we journey home. And he will help us when we need it, and he'll help us to pour out his love to others, bringing his good with us. Because he will bring us home, our eternal home. If your hope isn't in Jesus yet, then I invite you to please trust in him as the only way to God and to be forgiven, to see the real blessings you can have in Jesus. Feel free to speak to me or to someone else you trust afterwards about this. But don't leave it. And as we finish, let me remind you of these three things. Firstly, please make Psalm 84 a prayer for yourself and others, as comfort reassurance, and reminder. Secondly, we have our greatest blessings in Jesus, and nothing and no one can take that away from us. Jesus is our blessing. Hold dear to him. Don't lose hope. Don't stop longing for him as we journey home together through the highs and the lows, sharing out his blessing to others. And thirdly, we know where we are going. So let's fix our eyes. Let's set our hearts on God and being with him in the new creation. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love for us in Jesus, that you did not withhold him from us, that you poured out your greatest blessing, Jesus, to this world, so that through him we might come again into your family. Please help us to long for him, Father, to trust him and to know him and to follow him through all the hardships, the goods and the bads of life. And please help us to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, to never stop doing that, to journey home with Jesus. And please help us to pour out your love and your blessings to others around us as we do that. And Father, we look forward to the day when everything is made right and that we will be with you forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.